It's the grace of God, I tell you. We got in about 11:40 last night, actually, and we've been going nonstop. I was so close to the ocean and didn't even get to see it. That's how busy we were. People were offering to take me fishing, and I said, I'm taking you fishing for souls. Hallelujah. So praise God. It was awesome. We had a great time, and it was one of those trips where you go, and you're going for souls, and you have one thing on your agenda, and that is to reach the lost at any cost, not to reach the lost at no cost. Amen. A lot of people want to reach the lost, but they don't want to pay the cost. And there is a cost to it sometimes, but you know what? It's so worth the cost. One soul is worth it all. But praise God, God did so much more than what I was even expecting or hoping for. And I was so excited to see this church down in Portland, Texas, down by the coast. It's a suburb of Corpus Christi. And to see them get a hold of this and get excited about what God is doing there in their city and to go out and reach people and to reach the lost. And one thing I noticed while we were there, you know, the Bible says that God sets the solitary in families. And God puts people in families. And I noticed as we were talking with people and seeing people that were in the church that were going out, that I thought, man, that person reminds me of so-and-so. Man, that person is just like so-and-so. Man, those people are just like them. And a lot of you that are here tonight, you have people just like you in other churches that God has set there. And it made me realize God has set you here. And you are here for a reason, and you're here for a purpose, and God knows that you are here. Amen? Because He put you here, and your part is important. Every part in the body of Christ is important. It's like sprockets or gears, that when a gear is missing, it affects the whole operation. And so we were just blessed by that, because we've seen it work here and how it works here, and we were able to just shift right in there as far as showing them, this is how you can do this. And they were so excited to hear about it. We got there. We drove all day Thursday. We got in late and went into our hotel and spent the night there. Thank God they took great care of us. We went Friday morning. We got up and started scouting the land. Amen. It's like we were checking out the promised land and seeing where would be good places to go soul winning. Where would be good places to take people fishing? Where would we catch some fish, so to speak? But we're talking about souls. Amen. Where can we catch the souls? And so we scouted the land and then ate lunch, and we ended up going to the high school about 3 o'clock, 3:15, as they were letting out the high school. And I had Trey with me, my wife and I went, and we pull up to the high school, and there are just crowds of young people coming out of the high school. And Trey and I just looked at each other, and he was like, let me out. Just let me out. Let me out. And I love that, because he's almost like a dog on a leash. You just let go, and there he goes. He'll take off. And so I was not holding him back. I said, go for it, Trey. He said, let me out. Well, then I told my wife, let me out. Let me out. So I got out, and she drove the car, and man, we both just started taking off, getting these high school kids coming out of high school. And it was so awesome to see their hearts open, because we were trying to see, first of all, are people in that city the same as they are in this city? You know what I found out? They're the same. And I thought, I wonder if this gospel soul winning script will work the same there as it will here. And you know what? It worked the same. Because the gospel is the power of God to salvation. And so we started talking to young people. There was a couple young people. Their names were Cameron and Cordell. And I stopped and just started reading the script to them. Didn't have giveaways, although that would have been fine. It would have been great. We didn't have anything except just the raw gospel, the simple gospel truth, to be able to come up to them and say, hey, has anyone ever told you God loves you and has a great plan for your life? And both these young men stood there and listened. And then as I prayed with them and they prayed with me and received Jesus into their heart, I went to shake Cameron's hand, and the guy came and gave me a big hug. And I could see in his eyes that there was a change. The same with Cordell, two boys. And then here come a couple more. Here comes a boy and his girlfriend, Joseph and his girlfriend, Andrea. And I'm getting their names and praying with them and seeing God change them and touch their hearts. And Joseph didn't want to pray because he was too cool. But Andrea said, I'll pray. I want to pray. And so we got it and started praying, and that softened Joseph's heart. Hallelujah. God was moving and their hearts were open, and Trey was going, huge groups were coming out. He was just gathering them all up. Hey, I'm going to pray for all of y'all. And he was going through the prayer with them and having them pray to receive Jesus into their heart. Just, I'm talking 20, 30 kids at a time. It was awesome. And within the space of about 30 minutes, they had let out the floodgates, and we were catching as many as we can as they're going out. Within the space of about 30 minutes, we had led 208 people to the Lord that had received Jesus or had prayed the prayer with us to receive Jesus into their heart. And so then we spoke that night in their youth ministry of that church. And I was speaking to their youth and encouraging them about soul winning. And as I'm talking to them about soul winning, I started mentioning people. I said, yes, I prayed today with Cordell and with Cameron. And kids are looking, Cordell and Cameron? We know them. Oh, my gosh. And we said, we led 208 people at your high school. And people were like, what? One girl came up to me afterward and said, I saw you at the high school. And I was wondering, what is that guy doing? Who is that? Getting their friends born again and showing them you can do the same thing. You can take this script into your high school and you can just walk in and start praying with people and leading them to the Lord. Because there are so many kids that, especially the young ones these days, that don't know anything about Jesus. I had told them while I was, we did Saturday morning training for the whole church. The whole church came in, as many as would come came in, and they received the training. And as they went out, I was talking during training about how one time I went to this kid not long ago and said, if you died, would you go to heaven? This kid was about 10 years old. And he said, what is heaven? Had no clue what heaven was. And I got to thinking, how would he know what heaven is? If you just watch TV all day, if you just go to public school, you're not going to have any clue what heaven is. If you don't go to church at all, or if your family doesn't. And so we're raising a generation. We have to be careful because we've got a generation that's raised up. And with the media of today, they have no clue who Jesus is. They have no clue what heaven is. They just don't know. And someone came to me after we went out soul winning and said, I had several young people that did not even know what heaven was. And he had to explain that to them, talking about the basics. The basics. And I'm telling you, any one of you here with the knowledge that you have can go out into the world and teach anybody more than what they already know. You don't have to be a theologian. You don't have to be a Bible scholar to be able to go lead someone to the Lord and at least tell them the basics of salvation. If you've been born again yourself, you have enough to change the world. Amen. It's not the deep theology that people really need right now anyway. They need the simple gospel just to get born again. Amen. Just to be born. Hallelujah. So we need some Holy Ghost nursery workers. Amen. Hallelujah. But it was so awesome in that high school. And so we trained that Saturday morning and the people were so receptive. People were asking questions and they were wanting answers. And how do we do this? What do we do about this? What do we do if this happens? You just follow the script. You just continue with the script. Just read the script. And so after that, we went out and we separated into groups. I had about 4 different groups go out and hit different locations all over the city. And I went ahead and took the associate pastor and his wife with me and with my wife, Ashley. And we went out, as we've done many times with pastors here that have come from all over the world and all over the country that have come here to learn how do you do this. And you always pray as you go up to the first door, Lord, let this be a good one. Because you don't want the first one to be like, no, go away. And then you're like, well, see, I told you it works. But I told them, if that happens, you just say, okay, thank you, God bless you, have a great day, and go to the next one, because they will. They will. And so we'll go to the first one. I'm praying, Lord, let this be a good one. And as we're going through the script and everything, this guy kind of stops me for a second and says, he just moved there to Portland from Fort Worth. I said, no way, I'm from Fort Worth. He said, really? You know that big ice storm we had? Just recently, that was when he moved down. He said he got down there. On his way, he was shedding clothes all the way down because it was getting warmer. But he just moved down there, and he said, I'm looking for a good church. And I said, well, I go to Calvary Cathedral in Fort Worth, Pastor Bob Nichols. He goes, Bible College. I said, yeah. He goes, my brother went to your Bible College. I said, awesome, man, that's great. I'm the associate pastor's right there. I said, well, this is a great church. Let me get you plugged in right here. He started talking to the associate pastor and getting him plugged. And the associate pastor was like, is it this easy? The first person we walked to is looking for a good home church and just moved here. And then he asked Ashley something about, is it like a Baptist church? What denomination is it? She said, well, it's non-denominational. And he was like, well, I know sometimes the Baptists, they don't really, what did he say? They don't allow the move of the Holy Spirit. And Ashley said, oh, this church does. This church allows the move of the Holy Spirit. And he said, oh, good. That's the kind of church I'm looking for. Again, we're just like, yes, thank you, God. And so we're going, and he and the associate pastor there and his wife, they're leading people to the Lord right and left. It's awesome. It's just like a feeding frenzy. I mean, just people are hungry for the things of God, and they're hungry for the Word. And so we ended up leading. We led 117 people to the Lord that day, yesterday. Actually, that was yesterday, wasn't it? Boy, what a day. We led 117 people to the Lord yesterday. And then when we came back, it was so awesome. But while we were out there, I know Trey took out a group. He had a man that he was coming up to read this script for. And there were these guys that were, they were smoking marijuana in the particular place that Trey went. And so they were smoking marijuana and they were kind of making fun of Trey at first. But he just kept going with the script, continue with the script. And so he kept going, and the guy went from smoking marijuana and making fun of Trey to throwing down his marijuana, to putting it out, to leaning against a wall and crying. Is that right, Trey? He started crying, and God touched this guy's heart, and people were amazed to see how quick of a work that it does. And just like here, it was neat to see people going, whoa, this is awesome. You know, we got to keep that on the inside of us. We got to keep that. And we've got to continue to go out and to keep seeing those things and keep getting those testimonies of lives touched and changed, because it encourages people. We had 21 soul winners had showed up and went out yesterday for their church. Their pastor said, this is a landslide. He said, I doubt you can find many churches where 21 people would show up to go soul winning. I say, you know, it's amazing. The people that have a heart to go soul winning and God speaks to their heart, they just need to know how. They just want to know, what do I do? Just show me. It's in our heart to do. And I believe they're going to have more in the future, because those 21, as they came back after we were soul winning, it was about 1 o'clock. I was hungry. It was getting late. I was like, man, I am hungry. Let's go eat. But they were coming in and just talking and talking and telling testimony after testimony. They were all smiles and they didn't want to leave. And I was just thinking, where's Mary Perez and Enchiladas Ole when we need them? I said, well, at our church, let me tell you what happened. I said, a lady, she feeds all of our soul winners every Saturday after we go out. And we come back and we tell testimonies and share testimonies and are able to eat lunch and everything. And I just thought that was such a blessing, how God has blessed us. And he's shown himself strong on the behalf of us as we go out soul winning. And they ended up, okay, let's go to lunch. And I'm telling you, I never had anybody, Trey, have you ever had anybody fight to pay your meal? So, I mean, I thought we were going to have a fight there. This one guy said, come on, come on, come on, quick, 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 I want to buy your meal. I'm like, what? He said, I'm going to Shunammite you. I said, what? He said, I'm going to Shunammite you. And the other guy was like, no, I'm going to Shunammite him. You know the story of the Shunammite woman? She built a place for the man of God that was coming through, and they put a place, and they had a chair and a table, and they wanted to sow into what God was doing so bad, they were fighting over who could pay for our meal. I'm thinking, hey, y'all can both pay for my meal. I'm hungry. No, I'm kidding. But get this. It was awesome, and it was a blessing. And people were, they were so excited about getting the truth. But I called today, and they said that this morning, in their morning service, they had people that were led to the Lord yesterday that came to their church with no giveaways, nothing. except just the simple gospel truth, being able to preach the gospel to them. And I'm telling you, it was so awesome. But I was telling them about the things that we do and the programs and different things that it's more than a program, it's a lifestyle. But the way that we reach people, and they were so open and want to do it that they're planning already activities and things like that to be able to bring people in. It's a great church, and they have a heart to do that. Their pastor really had a heart to do that. But they had people come this morning to their Sunday morning service from the outreach yesterday, and they'll never be the same. They will never be the same again. They were changed. The church was changed as much as the people in the city as we went out. But they realized, I know that place had actually, they say, this place is overrun with Jehovah's Witnesses. I said, you know what? Let me tell you what has happened in Fort Worth. Honestly, and I don't say this in any way in pride or against people, but against the Spirit. But I said, we have really frustrated the Jehovah's Witnesses in our city. We really have, because every time they come out, there we are. Every door they go to knock on, there's one of our flyers already on it. And we've been leading the Jehovah's Witnesses to the Lord and praying with them to receive Jesus on every street corner. I mean, we're everywhere. We're in at least 15 different locations, and sometimes we move around. And we're saturating the city. We're touching the city. We're going in different places, new places. God's at work. He's opening mega doors for us. And we're excited about what God is doing in this city. But we really are becoming a prototype or an example for other churches everywhere to be able to follow and to be able to see this is how you can really touch and change a city. If you've got people that God sets in place, people that God speaks to their heart, and they can overcome the fear, they can overcome their busyness and just step out and get activated in the kingdom of God, we equip you, we train you, you go out with power and with force, and I'm telling you, you change the world. And it's awesome what can happen. But I can't wait to hear the testimonies. They told me today, we will keep you updated on the testimonies that are coming, because we know there are so many more to come. So thank you, Pastor Bob, for letting us go and be able to bless that church. And thank you guys for being examples, because we're telling your stories. We're telling your testimonies. We're telling what you have done. And it's blessing people to say, well, if they can do it, maybe we can do it. And they're stepping out in faith, and it's working. So we're just excited about it, and we had a great time. We're glad to be back home and can't wait this week to be able to go out Tuesday through Saturday, Tuesday through Fridays at 2 o'clock, Saturdays at 10 a.m. We go out and we win souls every day, every day, every time we go out, we win souls. In the chapel, which is to my right, your left, all the way at the end of the hall there is the chapel, and that's where we meet Tuesday through Fridays at 2 o'clock, and then Saturdays at 10 a.m. And it is a tremendous blessing. And if we ever have a super soul winning Saturday, which we do from time to time, and you can make any time, come to those super soul winning Saturdays. Because if the whole church will get on board, those are days when we kind of rally the troops and say, if everybody can come out on this Saturday, drop whatever you're doing. I know Ashley, my wife, and I, if it's a super soul winning Saturday, we make sure nothing will interfere with that super soul winning Saturday, because we want to be there, and it's our heart to be there. And I want to encourage you, make it a point to, if you have to drop some stuff or say, you know what, well, I would normally be doing this, but I'm going to do this instead. I would encourage you to do that, because there will be fruit in your life, and it's going to spark a fire on the inside of you. You'll be able to lead so many more people to the Lord in your everyday life. And we do get reports as people go out on the streets and do this. Then we see people as they're doing their laundry in their apartment complex, and they tell somebody and they lead somebody to the Lord. Maybe they're pumping gas and they tell somebody, by the way, has anyone ever told you, and they lead people to the Lord at the gas station, at the grocery store, at Walmart, or they lead their cable guy. Was it Willie? I love that story that Robert White has of his cable guy that he was able to pray with and lead to the Lord as he had come to do a service for Robert White, fixing his cable or whatever. And Robert asked him, by the way, again, because it's fresh on our mind and we're anticipating and we're ready, because God's bringing a soul by our house sometime, or he's bringing a soul into our life or across our path that we're going to speak to. And this guy, Willie, got born again. Praise God. And I said, free Willie. Hallelujah. Free Willy. Hallelujah. So thank God. Hallelujah. Praise God. So we just thank Lord. Thank you, Lord. God, we just thank you for what you're doing, Lord. We give you all praise, glory, and honor. God, thank you that we have the strength. Thank you we have legs to be able to walk, God. Thank you, Lord, we have legs to be able to walk. Thank you we have hands to be able to speak with and to share the gospel script with. Lord, thank you we have a voice. Thank you, Lord, we have ears to hear and eyes to see. Thank you you've given us the equipment, God. Lord, help us not to take it for granted, Lord, but make full use of it, God. And not waste what you've given us, God, on trivial things, things that don't really matter. Lord, thank you for you've given us vehicles to be able to take the gospel out. Lord, you've given us resources, God. Thank you for bringing in more resources, Lord. You're bringing them in. Lord, we thank you you're bringing in people from the north, south, east, and west. In Jesus' name, Lord, we just thank you, God. Hallelujah, that you are at work. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, Trey, come on up. I'm going to win you to the Lord. Hallelujah. It's time you got saved. Hallelujah. You can just stand right there. Hallelujah. I want to show you how this works for those of you who maybe have never done it. Even if you have, it's good to pay attention and to get this down in your heart. And we've got a script that you can carry with you, or if you've got it memorized, that's great too. Fortunately, if you do it so many times you can memorize it. But I'm not afraid. Even now, I'll hold this script and just read it, because it shows the person, first of all, this isn't going to take all day, because the script's only about this long. If you talk from your own heart, sometimes you might think, oh, how long is this guy going to be? And you're praying God do a quick work. So I like to carry that script and just pull out the script and just read it to him. And plus, it shows that it's not necessarily a word from a man, but it's a word from the Lord. It's a word from God, because we say this is what the Holy Bible reads. And so they look at it. Oh, this is what God says, not what this little redhead guy says. You know what I'm saying? So we go up to people, and you'll knock on the door. Or you might be pumping gas, and they say, boy, it sure is a beautiful day. And you say, it sure is, by the way. And you go into the script. By the way, has anyone ever told you that God loves you and has a great plan for your life?
Yeah, I've heard it.
Awesome. Well, I have a real quick but important question to ask you. If you died today, do you know for sure, beyond a shadow of a doubt, that you would go to heaven?
Yeah, most likely.
Most likely? Awesome. Wonderful. Why would you say most likely?
Man, I'm a great person. Just really, really good, solid person.
Really, that's awesome. And I love to hear what people say, the excuse. I have a list of the things of why people, when we were there soul winning, Pastor Bob, one of the young people in the high school, I asked him, I said, how do you know you'd be born again? And he said, how do you know you'd go to heaven? He said, because my grandmother told me that I would go where she goes. And I thought, how sweet, but it's the wrong answer. You can't get in on grandma's coattails. I hate to tell you that, but I didn't say that. I just said, wonderful. I proceeded with the script. I didn't say, wrong answer. Whoa, But I said, wonderful, that's great. And so I said, well, let me really quickly tell you what the Holy Bible reads, okay? I said, the Holy Bible says that all of us have sinned and come short of the glory of God, and the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. The Bible also says that whosoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Not might be saved, not may be saved, not I think I'm saved, I hope I'm saved, but shall be saved. And you're whosoever, right? Of course you are. All of us are. And then we flip it around on the other side. I used to use this as a question. Many times I used to ask them, is it okay if I pray for you? Because I'm just kind of a non-confrontational guy. And I want to make sure everything's okay. And I don't want to offend anybody and everything. But sometimes you just got to be bold. And so I used to say, is it okay if I pray for you? And they'd say, no, and walk away. And I wasn't able to get a hold of them by the Spirit. So you flip the card over and you say, I'm going to say a quick prayer for you. And when you do it like that, they're like, okay, this guy's obviously gonna pray for me. And so you really compel them. Luke chapter 14, the master said, go compel them to come in because I want my house to be filled. And that word compelled means don't come back without them. And so when God says, go out and get them and don't come back without them, I'm not going to go do something else. And I'm not going to come back a few minutes later with a Starbucks. And he said, well, oh, I'm sorry. Well, I didn't find anybody. There's no excuse. There really is no excuse because there are people out there that are hungry. The harvest is ripe and the labors are few. So I'm going to compel him. I'm going to say a quick prayer for you, okay? And he may not want me to right now, but it's okay. He will. Again, they'll go from like this to hugging you and crying. I see it all the time. So here I say, I'm going to say a quick prayer for you. What's your name?
Trey.
All right. Lord, I pray you bless, and it's all right there on the script. Lord, I pray you bless Trey and his family with long, healthy lives. Jesus, make yourself real to him. Lord, do a quick work in his heart. If Trey has not received Jesus as his Lord and Savior, I pray that he will do so now. Now, Trey, and I don't pause too long right there. I just say, Trey, if you would like to receive the gift that God has for you, just say this after me with your heart and your lips out loud. Say, Dear Lord Jesus. And he might do that, but I said, you can do it. Go ahead. Say, Dear Lord Jesus. Go ahead. You can say it. Say, Dear Lord Jesus.
Dear Lord Jesus.
See, there he goes. He broke through. If you can get him to say the name of Jesus, you got him. I'm telling you, if you can get somebody, because there's power in the name of Jesus, and they may not even understand it or know what's going on, but the lights just came on and they don't know what happened. So you're saying, Dear Lord Jesus.
Dear Lord Jesus.
Come into my heart.
Come into my heart.
Wash me and cleanse me.
Wash me and cleanse me.
Set me free.
Set me free.
Jesus, thank you.
Jesus, thank you.
That you died for me.
That you died for me.
I believe.
I believe.
You are risen from the dead.
You are risen from the dead.
And you're coming back for me.
That you're coming back for me.
Fill me.
Fill me.
With the Holy Spirit.
With the Holy Spirit.
Give me a passion for the lost.
Give me a passion for the lost.
A hunger for the things of God.
A hunger for the things of God.
And a holy boldness.
And a holy boldness.
To preach the gospel.
To preach the gospel.
Of Jesus Christ.
Jesus Christ.
I'm saved.
I'm saved.
I'm born again.
I'm born again.
I'm forgiven.
I'm forgiven.
And I'm on my way to heaven.
And I'm on my way to heaven.
Because I have Jesus.
Because I have Jesus.
In my heart.
In my heart.
Amen. Amen. Well, Trey, as a minister of the gospel of Jesus, I can tell you today that your sins are forgiven. Always remember to run to God and don't run from God, because he loves you and he has a great plan for your life. And at that point, I tell you what, I'm going to keep you on my prayer list. I don't say, is it okay if I keep you on my prayer? I'm going to keep you on my prayer list, Trey. What's your last name?
Clark.
Trey Clark. Awesome. And what's your phone number? 888-888-888. Awesome. I'm going to call you on Saturday, okay? And remind you, we have church Sunday morning at 10 a.m. We would love for you to come. It's important to just continue your walk with God, and God's doing a work in your heart. You can do all kinds of things from this point. You can get them filled with the Holy Ghost. We did that when we were there in Portland. People got filled with the Holy Ghost. That was awesome, just like that. We also got their phone numbers and their names so that we can call them. We've got a great phone ministry here where you can bring us. If you have somebody that you've led to the Lord and you've got their phone number and you want us to call them, we can do that too. Bring their phone number and their name. We'll call them and remind them Saturday. We've got church Sunday morning, and they will come. It's amazing. People were amazed that as we went out, people were actually, yeah, I'll come. You will? Great. And they came this morning to the church, and they're taking that next step in their walk with the Lord. But it's as simple as that. It's as simple as reading that script. And as you read it, and we're saying, Lord, give me a passion for the lost. Give me a hunger for the things of God. Give me a holy boldness. You'll find that holy boldness is rising on the inside of you, because you've been praying that with so many people. And so you start getting that for yourself. Every time you pray it literally for yourself. Lord, fill me with the Holy Spirit, because we need to be filled every day. They were filled with the Holy Ghost in Acts chapter 2, but later on they were filled again. And so we need to be filled all the time with the Holy Ghost. Lord, fill me with the Holy Spirit. Give me a boldness, a holy boldness to preach the gospel. And so it helps us to be able to pray these prayers with these people. And we just prayed, Lord, do a quick work in his heart. And so that's how his heart went from being and wouldn't even say the name of Jesus to praying the whole prayer. And I've seen him literally say, are we going to do this right now? And I say, yes, we're going to do this right now. It's great. You'll love it. Just say, Dear Lord Jesus. And then they'll say, Dear Lord Jesus. Like, okay, here I go, but I don't want to do it. But then as they do it and they pray the prayer, the anointing falls. The power of God touches them. They said the name of Jesus, and it's starting to work already in their heart, to the point where by the end, I've had them literally in tears and crying and thankful, literally hugging me. And it wasn't awkward. It wasn't something I was making them do. I might have compelled them, but I said, if you would like to pray this after me. And I would say, come on, you can do it, and encourage them. Sometimes people just need encouragement. They want to do the right thing. They just need somebody to help them and somebody to encourage them and to compel them to come in so that his house might be filled and so that people will be born again. And it's so awesome to see the testimonies. And as I have been sharing the testimonies, Pastor, from this church and from what God has done this past year, I've thought to myself, wow, this encouraged me so much to look at the people like Tamara, who had not been to church in 18 years. Now is faithful member, was here this morning, got on the bus and is riding the bus faithfully. Was here, always has a smile on her face. She just gave me a big hug down the stairs. I said, hey, I was telling the church in Portland about you. She has brought more people to this church than I can even count and had not been to church in 18 years. It's awesome. People like John Costa, I told the story about how he got healed of the, not only the brain tumor and the scar tissue from that and the stroke that he had previously, but the stroke that he just had a few months ago was paralyzed the left side of his body completely, and God completely healed him miraculously. And now he's here going to Bible college. He racked up $54,000 debt. The owner of a company, there was a company in the hospital that said, your debt is paid for, paid in full. He owed nothing. He walked out of that hospital owing nothing, came here, gave the testimony. The owner of that company was here in this service, and as a member of this church, he came up and said, hey, not only are we paying your bill, I want to pay for you to go to Bible college. You got a full scholarship. He's going to Bible college. He's involved in our food ministry, praise God, because he knows what it's like to be homeless. He knows what it's like not to have food. These things, as I'm telling these stories, started encouraging me. It started encouraging me as I'm telling the story about Bud Jordan, who was out soul winning with us, and a guy was in a hurry, and Bud Jordan, as quiet and as meek and mild as he is, said, excuse me, sir, and stopped the man and led him to the Lord, just like I did with Trey. And that guy stopped, repented, gave his life to the Lord. As I was in the foyer one day, I'm walking through, and this man says, hey, excuse me, sir, can you take my picture with this guy? I said, sure, I'll take your picture. And he wanted his picture with Bud Jordan. I said, why do you want, what is going on here? He said, this is the guy that saved my life. I want to get my picture with this guy. Why? Because that guy that was in a hurry was on his way to go commit a crime in revenge. And Bud Jordan stopped him, led him to the Lord, and he came to church and said, I want my picture with this guy because he probably saved my life. Not only spiritually, but physically. Hallelujah. Praise God. This all happened this past year. And so many other things. The story of the 9-year-old girl, Mike's daughter. Where are you, Mike? Praise God. Mike and Michelle's daughter. Praise God. Victoria. She went to her teacher, actually in her school, was leading people to the Lord in her school with her scripture. Teacher said, you can't do that here. And she said, yes, we can. The Bible says, go into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature. And the teacher said, oh. And she prayed with her teacher, and her teacher prayed to receive Jesus as her Savior. Praise God. That's awesome. I just think that's great. We've got so many neat testimonies and stories. The man that was delivered from alcohol. He was an alcoholic, was sitting at home as a backslid Christian alcoholic, hooked on alcohol, and someone came to his door, led him to the Lord. He started coming on the bus faithfully. Now he's part of the choir, sings in the choir, has not had alcohol for over a year. God set him free. I think, praise God. He's the guy that wrote the article for the Fort Worth Star-Telegram about what we were doing, and they published it. They published that article in the cheers and jeers section, and we got a cheer. Praise God. From a life that was touched, a life that was changed. And I know there are so many people out there. It's like the story of the starfish. You've heard that story, how there's a certain beach at a certain time of the year when the starfish wash up onto the shore. And millions of them cover the shore, and then the tide goes out. And those starfish suffocate and they die. And there was a little boy that was out there picking up starfish and chunking them into the ocean as fast as he could. And a man who had come up with maybe years of experience or just thought, man, what a waste of time. He told that boy, son, don't you know you're really not making a difference? And the boy picked up one starfish and said, I'm making a difference with this one. And he threw it into the ocean as fast as he could. And we might look at the sea of humanity and say, are we really making a difference? Are we really making a difference in Fort Worth? I'm telling you, it made a difference to John Costa. I'm telling you, it made a difference to that man Bud Jordan led to the Lord. It made a difference in Donnell's life. It made a difference in Tamara's life. Hallelujah. It matters, each and every one that we lead to the Lord. That's a soul that is saved from heaven. And at least it's, at the very least, it's someone that can't get to heaven and say, nobody ever told me. Or I didn't even know what heaven was, and I lived in your city. And I didn't even know what heaven was because nobody told me. I'm telling you, we've got to take back what the devil has stolen. We've got to go out. We've got to get the gospel on the streets. And we've got to make the gospel known. It's our job. God has told us to do it. He didn't tell angels to go out and preach the gospel. He told us to go out and preach the gospel. And it's our job. We've got to be doing it. We've got to go out and tell people. Otherwise, how will they know unless somebody goes and preaches? And how will they hear a preacher unless you're sent out? Unless you're sent out from here. We're not the preachers. You're the preachers. The Bible says that he's given us the fivefold ministry for the equipping of the saints for the work of the ministry. So that you can do the preaching and lead people to the Lord, because you can go places we can't go. We cannot do what you can do. There are people, Trey went up to a lady's door 2 weeks in a row knocking on her door, and the lady slammed the door every time. Both times. The third week we went back to that place, he watched a girl go to that door, knock on that door, and the lady prayed with that girl to receive Jesus. Trey wasn't the one to do it, evidently. But it was a girl that lady received from. I don't know. Nothing wrong with Trey. There are some people that won't receive from me, but they will receive the word of God from you, because God's given you an open door into their heart, and you're the one that's going to reach that person for Christ. And it's like only you can prevent forest fires. Only you can really win souls. And you got to say, if it's up to me, I've got to do it. I've got to reach my world. And I don't want to put pressure on you to say, oh man, I feel the weight of the world on my heart. It's not a weight. It's just a weight upon the Lord. It's just waiting upon the Lord and praying, asking him for boldness. Lord, give me the boldness to do this. Lord, set me free. And a lot of times it's a matter of just getting your feet to move. I've known some people, and there have been times in my life where I was so scared to go from A to B, and I said, feet move, and made my feet get there, and the rest of my body's going, what? And you get there. Come to the soul winning training. Just sit in it. If you're too scared to go out or whatever, come into the soul winning training and just sit there and listen and see what God does. Let God just touch your heart. Don't get scared and run off. But I'll tell you this, we've all been scared. Even Barry Moulton, one of the best soul winners we have, drove all the way here and drove back this first time because he was scared. Bob, the security guard, was hanging out at the back door, almost had his hand on the door to leave. And I said, hey, are you here for soul winning? He said, yeah, but don't get scared and run out first. I said, come on, it's going to be okay. I had to grab him and pull him in. Sit down, it's going to be okay. This guy's twice my size. Hallelujah. And a security guard, come on. Now he's bold as Andrew Womack would say, he's stronger than horseradish. But it starts with just doing it. And I'm telling you, it comes as you do it. So you just gotta, this is what you've been needing. This is the breakthrough you've been needing. If you've been feeling like something in your heart is just not right, I just feel like I need something. Lord, I don't know what it is. Well, it's not another movie. It's not a new car. It's not new wardrobe. It's not those things. It's you need to get activated. You need to get activated in the kingdom of God. And as you do, you'll find, man, I feel and sense that desire and that need. And just get activated in the kingdom of God and lead something. You can lead people to the Lord. You can lead them in a prayer of salvation. And God's called us to be leaders. Amen. He's called us to be leaders in this world, not follow them. I'm so tired of following Hollywood. I'm so tired that the church follows the world in their sin and what they do. It just frustrates me. Why don't we follow Jesus? Why don't we follow His word? Why don't we follow what He said to do? Let's do it. And you'll find that all of a sudden there's new life. And there's provision. There's rewards. There's things as you're faithful and you continue. And yeah, there will be a stroke. The stroke might come. But you'll be healed. Praise God. Get back up. Within a week, you're back soul winning again. There may be a storm that you have to get up and say, peace, be still. But it would have come anyway. I've got a message. I'm not going to preach it, but it's, are you a Jesus or a Jonah? Are you a Jesus or a Jonah? The same storm came to both of them. Jonah for his disobedience, Jesus because of his obedience. The storm's going to come in your life either way. Well, I tried soul winning and the worst things happened in my life. It was terrible, so I had to stop because I was making the devil mad. No, don't stop. You stand up and say, peace, be still to that storm. On the other hand, you could say, no, I'm not going to obey God. I'm not going to do what He says and run. And you'll run in the same storm. Jonah did. The same storm. Are you a Jesus or a Jonah? Will you stand up and obey and say, peace be still. We're going to the other side. We are going to win souls. We are going to reach the lost. That's one thing I loved about John Costa. While he was laying in the emergency room, they had just brought him in. He's paralyzed. He said, I'm still going to win souls. Tears streaming down his face. He's paralyzed the left side of his body. I'm still going to win souls if I have to do it from a wheelchair. He said, call me Old Ironsides. I said, no, we're not calling you Old Ironsides. You're getting out of that bed. You'll not be paralyzed. You'll not be in a wheelchair. Troy got there later. I had gone out and led 19 people to the Lord by the time they got him from emergency room to ICU. Went out and led 19 people to the Lord there in the hospital. I came up to ICU. There was Troy already, had his arms and his hands and was lifting them up. And a nurse walked in and goes, what's going on? And Troy goes, just doing a little rehab. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. Totally paralyzed on Monday. If you remember, Sunday morning he gave the testimony here and he had gone out that week and led people to the Lord. Was able to drop down, do 15 push-ups there in the hospital. He had 30 doctors and nurses in his room saying, how is this even possible? This is a miracle. His doctor said, it looks like you just came out of your mother's womb when he looked at the brain scan. New brain. That happened here. Hallelujah. Yes, in Fort Worth, Texas. It would not have happened if somebody had not gone out soul winning. If somebody had not gone out soul winning, it would not have happened. And I'm telling you, great things happen when you just walk on the water, when you step out of the boat. Praise God. And you just keep walking. We're water walkers. Amen. Praise God. We believe in the supernatural. We believe that with God, all things are possible. And I just want to encourage you, keep your faith in gear. Don't become just so familiar with what has happened here that we don't celebrate our successes like we used to, or we get bored with success. Don't get bored with success. But stay excited with it. Stay excited about it. The more you share it with other people, the more it grows in your heart and the more it spreads. You know, I would so much rather share something that Jesus did, a miracle story, rather than talk about the latest movie that came out or whatever, or talk about anything else, because that will stir people's faith. And it was so neat being able to talk to people and be able to tell people. So cool to be able to knock on somebody's door and say, let me tell you what God has done, and be able to tell those testimonies as they need healing or they need whatever. We're called to do it. You can do it. With God, all things are possible, regardless of who you are. We've had people that have gone out that literally were in special education that went out and won souls to the Lord. Anybody can do it. It's not because you're smart. It's not because you're dumb. It's not because you're pretty. It's not because you're ugly. It's not because you're pretty ugly. It's just because it's the power of God as the gospel. It's because you can just share the gospel with somebody and you can transfer the anointing. You have a gift. You have an ability. And you got to use what you've got to be able to reach others. Anyway, I believe that's about all I have, Pastor. Hallelujah. Thank you so much for allowing us to do this.
Dan, hold on just a minute there. Has your heart been stirred tonight? My heart's been stirred. Some people say you've seen it all in the ministry. No, no. Every day is a new day. We have family in this church that needs our prayers tonight. Last Sunday night, John Roberts was here in the service, right? And before hardly past midnight, if I get the time wrong, he had had an attack in his body and they had to care flight him into the hospital. I want us to pray for him tonight. Now, we've talked about miracles. We talked about, you know, the miracle that you just shared. But right now, we have an excellent opportunity with that handsome young man in the hospital. The family, and of course, John needs our prayers. You know, there's an anointing that's on you tonight. I tell you what, I appreciate Dan because he's real, he's genuine. Amen. I want us to stand tonight, and I want us to set up. If you could, I just appreciate you coming forward because we're not going to preach, but we're going to pray for a few moments tonight. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Brother David, just come up here and stand with us, man. You love healing. We're praying. It's 23, 24 years old.